seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Saw this piece floating around on social media today, and I thought, well, that doesn't appear in the news very often. The excommunication of a high-ranking Mormon official. The details are sparse, but given the fact that this doesn't happen very often, I thought it would be a great occasion to talk to Bill McKeever, regular guest, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, and author of several books, including, in their own words, a collection of Mormon quotations and Mormonism 101. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, good to be with you, Todd.
It is reported in the press that James Hamela was released from his position in the first quorum of the 70 of the LDS Church. What is that position?
Well, James Hamela, being a member of the first quorum of the 70, means that he was in the third level in the Mormon hierarchy. You have at the very top what's known as the first presidency, and that includes the prophet president, which is currently Thomas S. Monson, and his two counselors. Then just below the first presidency, you have what's known as the Council of the 12, or the 12 apostles. Below the 12 apostles would be the first quorum of the 70, and that is where James J. Hamela was serving before he was released yesterday.
So this is, when it says high-ranking official, this is high-ranking.
That's pretty high-ranking, yes. You don't see men of that kind of caliber being excommunicated. It's pretty rare. In fact, the last time this happened was, I think, about 28 years ago, when a man by the name of George P. Lee was excommunicated. He was a Navajo Indian. He was kind of like the token Lamanite, as it would be understood in Mormonism. And he was released. He passed away at the age of 67, I think it was, not too terribly long ago. So this is a very rare occurrence. Now, we don't know why Mr. Hamela was released. The Mormon Church does not usually give out that kind of information for any excommunication. That's kept confidential. So if that information does get out, it's probably because the person who was excommunicated is the one that released that information. But the church normally does not do that.
It says in the press, his ouster was not for apostasy or disillusionment. Can you explain those two terms?
You know, that's an interesting word, disillusionment. I was talking with my associate, Eric Johnson, about this just today. And I said, it's almost like they came up with this word because obviously there must be a lot of people who are disillusioned with the Mormon Church for one reason or another. That apparently is not the reason in this particular person's case, but the fact that it's that the papers are saying, or as I should say, the church released a statement saying that his ouster was not for apostasy or disillusionment, kind of lets the mind wander as to, well, what possibly was the reason. And people that I talk to, usually they assume that it must have been some kind of moral failure. And it's not like that hasn't happened in the past. Back in the 1940s, the Mormon Church did release an apostle in the Mormon Church for committing adultery. His name was Lyman, Richard Lyman, who, by the way, his grandfather, Amasa Lyman, was also excommunicated from the Mormon Church, but that was for a completely different reason. they don't tell you. They just leave your mind to wander, and I'm sure there's probably a lot of members in the Mormon Church that are perhaps thinking that maybe it was for some kind of moral failure, because it's really odd, Todd. When people are usually excommunicated from the Mormon Church at all, it's not uncommon for that to be the common rumor that circulates among the Mormon membership, that it must have been some kind of moral failure on the part of the individual. It could never be because the church is wrong and they've discovered that truth. It's always something wrong personally with the individual.
So we need to explain explore a couple other terms here, and because, okay, I'm just kind of like make a rough parallel to a Christian denomination, although the parallel has to be necessarily rough. If there were a high official of a Christian denomination that, let's just say for the sake of argument, was discovered in some sort of moral failure, they'd lose their job.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't be excommunicated from the church necessarily. They would lose their job. They'd be called to repentance. They'd be, you know, they'd find work elsewhere, and but they would continue in the church in the best of all possible outcomes. What does excommunication mean in the Mormon context?
Well, in excommunication, you lose, as a male, you would lose all your priesthood blessings, and that means that your chances of being exalted in the celestial kingdom, where you could become a god, are now gone. You have no hope for that. The only way you could ever hope to retrieve that benefit, if you will, that perk in Mormonism, is to be rebaptized in the Mormon church and basically kind of start all over again. So that's how it's done in the Mormon church.
So this is, at least by the Mormons' standard here, they have essentially handed down to James Hamula, this amounts to some kind of eternal
you're looking for a spiritual death sentence.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's pretty close to what it is in the light of Mormonism. Now, you have to understand, in Mormonism, there are three levels where a person can possibly go after they die, the top being exaltation or the celestial kingdom. Then you have the terrestrial kingdom. Then you have the telestial kingdom. And then for a few, you have outer darkness. Probably most Mormons would think that if Mr. Hamula was unrepentant and in this kind of a state, if he was to die in this state, he would probably end up in the telestial kingdom. That's not good for a Mormon. That's not good at all, because the most Mormons are looking to be exalted, because it is only by exaltation can they hope to be with their families throughout eternity, where the Mormon male becomes a god and starts the process all over again by organizing a world for his offspring, just the same as the Mormon god organized this world for his offspring, which would be all of us human beings.
You interact with Mormons all the time. What kind of message do you think this sends to the kind of average Mormon who thinks, has their doubts, and they feel like they're just barely eking by for a guy like James Hamula to be excommunicated by the church?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't really know if there's a good answer to that, because Mormons are told, and I can understand this, that usually discipline in the church is supposed to bring a person to restoration, which would certainly be a New Testament notion. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know what an individual might be thinking about this. There's a lot of different ideas in the Mormon church today. It's not monolithic, and so I'm sure there's probably a lot of people that are sympathizing with Hamula right now. And I'm sure there's a lot of members in the church that are probably thinking, well, he must have done something wrong, so good riddance to him.
Just in terms of the human effort, I mean, this is part of the problem with, a big problem with Mormonism is the human effort. But just in terms of the human effort, you don't get to be a member of the First Quorum overnight. He worked his way into this position.
For one, you have to show yourself to be very loyal to the system. And that is a huge requirement to become any type of a leader within the Mormon church. It doesn't come overnight. It does take a long time. And you basically have to just show yourself to be faithful to what Mormons believe to be the restored gospel, and naturally the one who brought us this restored gospel, that being Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon movement.
Finally, then, how would you explain this to someone who is looking in from the outside of Mormonism and saying, what happened here? There are church scandals all the time in Christianity. How would you explain this to someone who's not familiar with Mormonism?
Well, I would say that based on what they are telling us, that he was not let go because he didn't believe in Mormonism anymore. At least that's what that appears to be when it says his ouster was not for apostasy. Usually that means that the individual who's being excommunicated no longer believes in the teachings of Mormonism, or no longer believes that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God, or that Thomas S. Monson is his successor. That's usually what that means. So they're kind of left to their own imagination on this. And if it's not a moral failure, this statement is kind of unfair to Mr. Hamiel, because I'm sure there's probably a lot of people thinking that very thing. But the Mormon Church does operate this way. If you are not faithful to the system, you can be disciplined in this kind of a fashion. Excommunication is the worst that can happen to you, because, as I mentioned, a Mormon male would lose all their priesthood blessings. And those are very important to a faithful Latter-day Saint. I'm imagining what his wife must be thinking right now, because her husband's priesthood blessings play a huge role in her exaltation. And now that he no longer has those, she's placed in a strange predicament also.
And his family, I suppose.
Yeah, probably not so much as the wife, but certainly yes, because in Mormonism, salvation is kind of like a team effort. It's a huge chain, and you all want to be a part of that chain. That's why when someone in the family leaves the Mormon Church, a lot of family members get really angry, because you messed up that chain. We're all hoping to be together as a family unit, and now you're not going to be there, and if you're not going to be there, that could cause all sorts of problems for that in the hereafter.
Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. He's author of several books, including In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, and Mormonism 101. You'll find a link to Mormonism Research Ministry under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Bill, thanks for your time.
Glad to be with you.
On the other side of the break, we recently returned from a broadcast trip to Wittenberg, Germany, here on Issues, etc. Jeff and I will sit down and do a little travelogue, talk about our recent trip to Wittenberg, Germany, the travel, some of the obstacles, and, well, just the general overall experience. It was Jeff's first time to Wittenberg, and his impressions will interest you. We'll talk about that after this.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel, from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office. 314-416-8117.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Ever attended an Issues Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and wondered why more people from your congregation aren't there? Then check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so your circuit can prepare, promote, and present a seminar that will appeal to all the members of your congregation, provided for free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org, theclcc.org, and click on the blue box, or check us out on Facebook.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.